Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
To episode 76 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 14th of September. That's somebody dropping a pen. I'm guessing it's Craig. Thank you for joining us as always. Is it not? Well, anyway, hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Do you know, before we start, I'd like to say a special hello to a very special lady tonight who's been ignored quite rudely. So hello, Kate Goodger, who we all know is Adam's mum.
She doesn't even listen to this show, so that's
she will now, because I'm just going to send her a message. So, hello, Kate. Hope you're okay in Spain.
Are you friend? You know, you're friends with my mum?
She friended me up, bitch. Wanted to know what you was up to.
Wrong that you're friends with my mother. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney peeps. That's Popcorn Kettle Black making friends with an 18-year-old girl that don't know from karate.
she friend requested me. It was
Emma from did, she wanted to know a fat drama teacher.
Yeah, she did. Obviously, it was obviously something that was missing from her life. How are you, anyway?
I'm good.
Good.
And was it you that dropped the pen?
Well, actually,
yes.
Yeah, it was a USB pen, but only because I was going I was trying to push it through my hair to try and just leave it there. Because I thought it'd be a handy place to keep USB pens. I'm going to take it to Dragon's Den as an idea.
Okay.
Can I just say a huge, huge, massive thank you. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Kate Goodger, and we're sorry that your son completely blanked you there. We did say answer FaceTime, and he said, no way, I'll use her when I want another car. But I want to say a huge, massive thank you to my Vinylmation mule, because my little pirates all turned up this week, and I'll post a picky later this week.
There's so been thanks, no Dunks.
You're welcome. Well, thank Nick. I was just the courier. Yeah. He was the dealer.
Yeah, they smell a bit funny.
Did they come in individual wrapped plastic bags?
They came, yes.
Little balloons.
Little balloons of VM.
They came in small balloons. Anyway, we'll leave it there if it gets any dodgier than it is already. Glad you're both okay. We've got a cool show for you this week. We've got... I'll just use the word cool. How sad is that? We've got some news and rumours for you. And we've got two special guests coming on the show. First, Emma Nicholson. She's going to be on talking to us about the Disney Moms Panel 2012 application process, giving you some hints and tips about what you need to think about when you're applying for that, because that closes on Friday of this week.
Does she tell you about the rules for applying?
She tells you about the rules for applying, all that sort of stuff. Okay. And also, Leonard Kinsley.
How come I missed that one?
Wait, when?
When she came on, coming on thing.
Let me just tell everyone what happened. I had a text on Sunday. Are we around to do an interview in 50 minutes? I think there was a Skype, and not who it was with. And I was just leaving to go, because Deb's doing a half marathon, to go up the course.
So you left Deb's?
Yeah. No, we both went up together to drive around the course, so she knew where it was. Then I find it was Emma.
That's cheating, by the way.
Well, I think you can't drive around it. I did tell her that.
Oh, right.
And then I said to Emma today, if I knew it was you, Emma, I would have waited. You didn't tell me it was you.
I just... You texted me to say you were at the O2, so I couldn't go anymore.
He kept her to himself. How greedy is that?
And I did text Jez as well, and he didn't answer either, so,
Yeah, but I left my phone in the car.
Oh, there you go. Can't do a lot about that. Anyway, so Emma's coming on to talk to us about the process and about hints and tips.
Talk to you, apparently.
Talk to me. And then we also have Leonard Kinsley.
I might move to your mouse cast. Craig, can I go to your mouse cast?
Yeah, let's move over.
Are you going now?
Well, I'm going to have to resign anyway, because I'm going to be the Disney Dad panellist for the Mums Club.
Yeah, and I'm going to be the Disney Mums panellist for the Mums Club. Yeah.
We've also got Leonard Kinsley coming on as well, who's written...
I loved him from Star Trek. Live long and prosper. Oh, he's brilliant.
He's written a book which is entitled, Craig...
The Dark Side of Disney.
The Dark Side of Disney. And it's an interesting interview, looking at this new book. You may want to vet it before you let your children listen to it. Although we are a family-friendly show, some of the content of the book is not necessarily family-friendly. Just to let you know a little bit about that.
And never, ever Google the model's name on Google.
No. No.
But I have in my hand the two copies we've got that you'll hear about later on.
Yeah, we've got a competition
for them later.
And also, there we go. And also, later on, you will hear some audio that Nick sent over for us from Project Florida. There was a Vinylmation talk at Project Florida, and Nick got the audio for that and he sent that over. So you'll be able to hear that right at the very end of the show, after we've done the close. For those of you who are Vinylmation fans, you'll be able to hear that at the end of the show as well. Cool. Right, that's everything, I think. So, without further ado...
Bye.
Yeah, bye, see you later. Without any further ado, let's get on with this week's news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
I'm starting off with this week's news and rumours then, where we're looking at something called Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom that's on its way to Walt Disney World. Think a little bit like Kingdom Keepers, searching through the parks to solve clues and riddles. This is the sort of thing you're going to be looking at. I'm going to read you what it says on, or came from the Disney Parks blog. It says, we're thrilled to share plans for a new role-playing adventure coming to Walt Disney World called Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. This is going to be fun, and it's all happening inside the park. Merlin the Magician will recruit guests to become apprentice sorcerers and then help them with maps and clues that show where and how to defeat an army of Disney villains. Looks interesting. Work on this new adventure is already underway. You may notice a few giant crates and even some new spaces showing up throughout Adventureland. They'll provide early clues to the challenges you'll be facing while trying to save the Magic Kingdom. It's going to debut early 2012, and they'll keep us updated on the park's blog. I know I've seen some photos. There's certainly some stuff by the Adventureland veranda area that's been updated. There's an area in Liberty Square that's been updated as well, with some touch screens and ideas and things like that, which seems to be starting to take shape. So what do we think about this new look, supposed role-play attraction coming to Walt Disney World? Craig.
About me, I could never have come to me first. You know, I think it's a good idea. This is, from what I've seen, a bit like Kim Possible in Epcot, which every time I've been to Epcot is just jammed at the little phones going dip, 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 all around the place. Kids love it. It's really interactive. It gives them something to do. So, yeah, why not? I think brilliant idea. Well done, Disney. You're brilliant. Now can I have a job on the Mums panel?
It does look like it's taking it a step further this time with this whole idea of Kim Possible, with a lot of interaction with Merlin and those sort of elements as well. I don't know how interactive it's going to be in that sense, whether it's going to be people, the characters which you can actually meet or not, I don't know. Jules, what do you think?
I think it's really cool. I think it's great. I think it's continual expansion outside the attractions and making the theme park itself an attraction. Walt Disney, in my book, would have approved, which probably makes me a perfect candidate for the Disney Mums panel.
This is not an interview for the Mums panel.
I thought it was.
No, it's really not. No, not yet. It's fine. No, it's lovely that you're trying your hardest.
I'm not applying.
You're not applying?
No.
Oh, okay. Right, so there we go. We'll give that a thumbs up. We'll find out more about that. And as we find out more about that, we will let you know more about that. So do follow us with regards to all that information. Moving over then to Animal Kingdom. Juz.
Yes, Animal Kingdom. It's all about Donald, Craig's favourite little furry friend.
Ah, my little duck, mate.
Yeah, Bonnie had an argument with him, then got a picture, then got some freebies. Anyway,
yeah.
Donald's breakfast is now becoming Donald's lunch as well. Is that
indeed
correct?
It is.
So, as of December the 4th, 2011, that'll be after the Disney Mums panel has been announced and Craig is the ultimate winner of that. I presume they have like an ultimate winner.
Oh, yeah, I think they're king of panelists.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Like, that's what's
going to
happen.
CEO.
Yeah, last one eliminated. Anyway.
Red or black?
No one watches that.
Minnie or Mickey?
Should I just leave it at that?
Yeah, should we just leave that?
Yeah, the breakfast, which I think is a really, really cool breakfast.
No, it isn't.
It is. I really like it. Just you had a growly thing. You could do your growly thing in a minute. It's becoming the lunch. I've just noticed that Donald's feet, the shoes are too big for his feet. If you go to DisneyBrit.com and go to the bit where Adam's put Donald's Daring Safari Experience Opportunities, a picture, and Donald's feet are too small for his legs are too small for his feet. This is terrible. It needs someone with fatter feet.
The whole new story, like the one thing you pick up.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Sorry, but am I right, Donald?
Yeah, they look like flippers.
This looks like a stand-in Donald and not the original.
No, that's fairly standard for Donald, I'm sure it is.
No, because why would his feet be bigger than his leg?
See, what I'm saying is...
Something's not quite right here.
So what, Disney have to change the rules from, to be Donald, you have to be about 5'8", plus you have to have fat legs?
No, what you need there, yeah, is you need some kind of latex coming off the top of it onto the leg, so it's a tight fit to make it look seamless.
Is this you with your Imagineer hat on again?
No, this is me when I'm a Disney Mons panelist. So I'm going to go up and take those feet off. Anyway, I think it's a long Donald.
Okay.
Anyway, just let you know, because they're amazing breakfast. I like the breakfast because it's all bits and pieces I like, and it's sort of like massive buffet. Anyway, the cost is $14.99 to $16. Why didn't you say 17, for 15 to 17? The cost is $15 to $17 from 3 to 9. After 9 years old, of course, they immediately become an adult and should be treated as such. And therefore, as an adult, they should pay $26 to $30. Guests can book Donald's Dining Safari Lunch, the DDSL, as we like to call it, by calling 407-WDW-DINE, or actually just dial numbers. Online reservations can be made after... What day is this coming out when? Is it, we're pretending this is Wednesday.
This is Wednesday, yes.
Okay, online reservations can be made tomorrow, which is Thursday.
I like it.
And I presume Dunks has been on this web page because someone who doesn't like Disney food has only given it 1 star.
No, I haven't. I've just given it 5, but now I can have my moment. Right. I never actually said that. I never said why, and this happened a while ago, and I sent a rant in, and you never played it. Right, let me tell you the problem I have with this. Right, it's got nothing
I
to do with
I thought you
food.
Came on the show and had a rant.
He did come on the show and had a rant,
you wouldn't
yes.
let me.
No, you did. You had your rant.
Right, anyway, I'll grab it again. So,
I will cut this out.
It's called Donald's...
I'm just settling down.
Donald's Safari Breakfast, or Breakfastsaurus, or whatever it was called, right? And it's in Tusker House, which is lovely. And don't get me wrong, the food was lovely, the setting was lovely. And we went in there, and Kieran's favourite character, as you all know by well, because you know us all, our
Chip
families,
and Dave.
It's Mickey. No, it's Donald. So we're sitting there having our breakfast, all the characters come round. He's waiting for Donald to come round. So we call over the waiter, well, when's Donald coming? Well, he doesn't come round. What do you mean he doesn't come round? It's Donald's breakfast. Well, no, because you've had
We're
your
getting word for word here, aren't we?
You've had your photograph outside with him. Well, I haven't had any breakfast outside. I'm having my breakfast now. And my boy wants his favourite character to come in and play with him. Oh, absolutely fuming! So anyway, that's what annoys me. You know, it's Donald. You have your picture with Donald, which they'll quite happily come around and sell you for $30, but he does not come and have breakfast with you. So if that's what you're expecting, you're not getting it.
But you did get it.
Well, I did, because I moaned to the manager and they got Kieran to meet Donald and gave them a backpack each and a Safari Mickey and Minnie, which was very lovely of them and over the top. All he wanted was Donald to come round when he was having his breakfast. But, you know, as Disney always, you know, immediate service recovery, as our good friend Lee Cockcroft has taught us, is what they do. But I was so annoyed because it's billed as Donald's breakfast and he's not there for breakfast.
Okay. He's already eaten.
He was in earlier. He was on the first seating. He missed it.
It's already here. Oh, needs to fatten up his feet.
Thank you. I think that's a fake Donald.
Are we sticking with the fake Donald story, yeah?
I think Donald's in the Priory.
With some sort of rehab. You know why? Yes. Do you know why he's there?
Why?
It's because he read The Dark Side of Disney and read the chapters that he needed to find out more about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's another little teaser for you. Right, so moving on to lunch, but Craig still doesn't like it. Okay, let's move into Downtown Disney. Craig.
Yeah, I like this one, though, although I've never been, but it just looks so nice. I bet you've been, Adam, and you didn't pay. Cirque du Soleil, La Nuba. Right, if you're going to go and see it on your next trip, then you need to get hold of your tickets starting tomorrow, because all bookings for the show will have a new price increase. If you plan on seeing the show before the 27th of September, so people have already gone out there, like some friends, Fred and Nicola, if you've already bought your ticket, you might be all right, but if you're going to buy it, you're going to suffer, because the price increase comes in book your tickets before the this doesn't make any sense.
It does.
Book your tickets before the 6th of September to get the old price.
Yeah, and it's now the 12th of September, so keep going.
the following
I'm glad you read your news. Excellent.
Oh dear.
Well, excuse me, can I put my hand up, please?
Yeah.
You just said it's the 12th of September. You said today's Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. It's the 14th of September. That's what I said.
There's just no consistency.
There's no consistency at all, is there?
There's no continuity.
I'm just going to sit and talk to my vinyl mate.
Yeah, go on then.
How many have you got?
10.
I've got an army of 14.
Right, I'm not going to ask Craig.
I've got 51.
Yeah, whatever. Right, anyway, give us your news.
Right, so category front and centre, new prizes, ages 10 and $128 plus tax. Category front and centre, ages 3 to 9, $102 plus tax. Category 1, ages 10 and up, 113. 3 and 9, 89. Category 2, ages 10 and up, 89. Category 2, 3 to 9, 72.
I'll fight your Jack Sparrow with my orange monorail. Bring it on.
You got an orange monorail?
Yeah.
I got one of those. Ages 10 and up for category 3.
By the way, they're all lining up here.
And ages 3 to 9 is $58. So basically, your cheapest ticket for your child is $58. Your dearest is $102. Your cheapest adult ticket is $73. Your dearest is $128, which is a heck of a lot of money.
It is a heck of a lot of money. Have you seen this show?
Not at those prices, I haven't. No, I wait till I get some freebies from my mum panel job.
You've seen it. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought the popcorn was dreadful.
Yeah, popcorn wasn't great.
Oh, popcorn was good. And the hot dog was salty as anything.
But the show's good.
It was the show as well.
Yeah.
The show is awesome-tastic. You don't know where to look. It's one of the best shows ever. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Hot dogs and popcorn don't touch with a barge pole. They're vile.
I've seen the show twice. I saw it in a category 2 and I saw it in a category 3. And I tell you now, if you are planning on going, there's nothing wrong with the category 3 seats at all. They're actually still very, very good seats. And if you sit in category 1 and you are actually too close or even the front centre, there are times when things happen quite high up and times when things come over the top of you. And you're going to be constantly sort of cricking your neck up to find out what's going on. So I honestly don't think the category front and centre or the category 1 seats are that good. I think the 2 or 3 are certainly more than okay for what you're going to need.
According to Torchwood, you don't want to be category 1.
No, that's true. According to Torchwood, that would indeed be a bad thing. But we're not talking about Torchwood, so I think we'll be all right there. So that's Cirque du Soleil, and if you've not been to see it, do go and see it. And well, Dunk's not, because he reckons he's getting free tickets, but that's never going to happen. Well, one last thing to do.
Pink sweater. I'll be fine.
Just a pink sweater?
Yeah, Disney Mum penalty. I'm just going to make one up. I'm going to get a badge off eBay. Yeah.
Right, go on, you do that now. Talking about Disney Moms Panel, what a wonderful link. That's brilliant. Well done. Disney Moms Panel have launched, as we already know, but they've launched something special this year. And for those of you who don't know, they're also looking for a specific holiday expert from the UK. It's the first time they've ever done this. In the past, they've sort of just done the Moms Panel, and then you sort of just apply, and then you join in with all the American entrants as well. But this year, they're looking for a specific Disney Moms Panel member. Joining Emma Nicholson, she is indeed staying on for another year. And that said, they're looking for somebody from the UK specifically. You're going to go through exactly the same process as everybody else, but you'll be in almost like a separate category. They've said they're looking for a UK Disney expert, although it's a possibility they may take a few. There's all of the details that you need are over on disneyworldmoms.com/search2012. There's also a link on waltdisneyworld.co.uk. Now, all of the applications are now open. They're open until Friday. And if you are seriously considering doing this, check out DisneyBrit.com. It's got all the information on it and everything you need to know. But also, make sure you continue to listen to this and listen to Emma as she gives you the sort of the hints and the ideas of things that you might want to put into your application. Right, that is all of our Walt Disney World news.
Adam, yes. Right, a couple of things on that. I didn't see when I did my application today, which was immediately processed and accepted, there was an option for the UK. I just had an option for Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris, Cruise Line, or Adventure by Disney.
Yeah, where's the UK bit?
I didn't see that.
There isn't one on there, but you'll find that the login that you've used will have your UK address linked to it, so they'll probably find it through that way.
I thought it was a separate page that said something about the UK.
It's all exactly the same. All goes through to the same page.
The other thing I was saying, I don't know if Emma covered this in this interview, because you never told us it was important to keep it to yourself, is that I think if they get enough applications, they might close it early.
Yes, well, they did last year. When they got to so many thousand of entries, they actually closed the whole thing down.
And the third tip is if you've got two Disney accounts, like I have, one in America and one in England, make sure you use your English one.
That's a very good point. Yes, very, very good point. But they're obviously going to do it that way, and they're going to work it through so they find out the addresses and do it from those people who are based in the UK. That's not a specific UK thing as well. Also, make sure you read through the application this year, because the application is slightly different in the fact that what they've done is added more questions that are related to both Disney World and also to Disneyland as well. So you can actually apply for either or. Let me just very quickly see if I can bring up the questions. I'm not quite sure I can, because I'd have to log in and register.
So do you have to have been within the last 12 months?
We have to be within the last 12 months. I spoke to sort of Emma about this in the interview. She'll give you the answers again. You'll hear in a second. But one of the things she was saying was, that sort of applies very much to those who live in America, but for those who are in the UK, Disney are going to have to rethink a little bit about exactly what they class as within the 12 months, because there are people who can't travel out every 12 months because of how expensive it is, but have certainly been within the last sort of 13 or 14 months, and they may take those into consideration. So she was sort of talking about that on the interview. Again, you'll hear all that a little bit later.
I was asked two questions. I don't know if you was asked the same. Let's see if this is random. So first one was a question about Walt Disney World, which is like testing your knowledge. So it's a true or false question about the Pirates League. Is it located in downtown Disney?
Yeah.
False. So that was the first one. Exactly. Yeah, we're telling the answer. The second one was, which I did answer because I knew the answer, Blaine Gordon, was who was the legend that designed the Pouter statue in Disneyland?
Yes, but you didn't have to answer that if you were using your Walt Disney World knowledge.
Yeah. No, you didn't. But no. Just if people might want to do a Disneyland one, because I know, you know, a couple of people that listen, like Stacey, is a big Disneyland fan.
Yeah, that's true. So. That's very true. But yeah, you only have to answer the specific Disney World questions if you want to be Disney World, Disneyland if you're Disneyland, or if you want to be for both, then you can answer all of those questions as well. So good luck with all of that. Right, let's jump on a plane, fly over to Disneyland Paris. We've got one piece of Disneyland Paris news for you from Juz.
Yes, it has moved.
Okay.
Right, it's in Spain.
Gone to Spain. Now, I mean, we've had a tough time in the UK with the austerity packages. We're all getting crippled. We're actually getting less for our money. Prices are going up. The government is destroying us. Italy's about to go bankrupt. Spain's about to go bankrupt. Greece is about to default on their payments and go bankrupt for about a million at a time. Ireland has got troubles. The bank has got major problems in Germany because it's funded up all the other European things, so they've got issues. So France have decided to charge people extra tax to get into Disneyland to sort their issue out.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? Now, we got this piece of news. Piece of news on the website. And I immediately got a Twitter comment from someone saying, no, this isn't happening because of something that was signed by the government way back when this had happened. Or this
Magna
had happened,
Carta.
And they weren't allowed to put up any of the tax and all that sort of stuff. And I sort of had a look around for it, and I honestly can't see anywhere that definitely says there is no way that Disney will not be charged the extra tax. So
even if it was, it would have been a short-lived agreement of X number of years, wouldn't
and
it?
And you would think that with them being the largest tourist destination, well, theme park destination in the whole of France, that there's no way in a million years they're going to stop them from taking tax off them. I can't see how that's
possible. Yeah, and to be honest, it's only a small jump. In the French's defence, it's only gone from 5.5% to 19.6%.
Yeah, it's not massive, is it? You know, it's only a small difference.
So don't bother going to Disneyland Paris anymore. Just go to Florida, it's cheaper.
So we don't really know what's going on with that for 100%. We will know in November, obviously, when it comes, and whether the ticket prices do actually go up because of the tax.
Ridiculous. They're going to price themselves out of the market.
Well, that's the thing.
Fanning around with prices now beforehand, things have gone up in price. Ludicrous how much you paid for Casey's Corner there. It was absolutely horrendous. Excuse me, they're in a recession. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better for a couple of years. People are doing staycations, and you go and do this. What a bunch of prats. France is trying to get money in there. You need the money in there from tourists to keep your economy going. Yeah. And basically saying, we don't want you. Thank you very much.
It just seems strange that that this is obviously happening. And you know, it's Sarkozy. It's not Disney itself. Who knows? But that's Disneyland Paris for you.
Oh, she doesn't like Disney. Perhaps he's a Universal fan.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Who knows? Well, anyway, that's the end of our news and rumours.
Woohoo! Was there any rumours in that?
No.
So, right, it was the end of the news?
Yeah. Oh, shh, don't tell anyone, no one noticed.
No one listens. True. Well, your mum won't tell you more.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
It's that time of year again when the Disney Moms panel decide to get just that little bit bigger. And as of Monday, the 12th of September, you may know that they've started the search once again for another member of, or another members of the Walt Disney World Moms panel. And we have our own UK entrant, I suppose, to the Moms panel, which is Emma Nicholson. We welcome her back to the show. Hello, Emma.
Hi, Adam.
How are you doing? We haven't spoke to you for a while.
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good, good. We sort of saw you at Mouse Meets, and you came and did your presentation there, which was fantastic. And you're obviously still doing the Moms panel. Now, are you finishing or are you carrying on?
Well, I hope I'm carrying on.
Wow. So you're going to be still on the panel. But the reason we've asked Emma to come back is, we know we've spoke to her several times about what it's like to be on the Moms panel, that sort of stuff, but Disney hit us with a bit of surprise information this week when they announced that as of the 12th of September, they're not only going to be looking for Moms panels in the US, but they're searching for a specific Moms panel memberist from the UK. They are looking for a UK search. I'm right thinking that, aren't I?
You are, that's right.
So the applications opened on Monday, that was the 12th of September, opened at 9 a.m. EST. They're closing on Friday, September 16th, at bang on midnight, which is US time. So that's sort of 5 a.m. on the 13th, roughly, for our time. Do you want to just explain a little bit more about what's happening this time that makes it a little bit different?
Well, like I say, it's the first time that somebody has been specifically searched for in the UK, which is fantastic news for all those guests in England planning holidays to Florida.
So we've got a UK panellist this year who's been specifically sought from this country. Just to give you a rough idea of the sort of things that they're looking for, and we're going to sort of talk to Emma a little bit about what exactly the time it takes for her. So if you are thinking about actually going for it, just the amount of time it's going to take you. They're looking for someone who's 18 years or older. They must be a UK resident, must have access to a computer and internet, must be familiar with the Walt Disney World or Disneyland Resort and have visited one of the parks at least once in the last 12 months, must be fluent in the English language, complete at least 25 written responses per week. They must be able to provide your own opinions and feedback, submit an autobiography and personal photo or video, which can be posted online. Be available to travel to Walt Disney World between the 9th and 13th of December and be willing to participate for a minimum of 24 months, which is something I think that might be new for this year. The persons who are selected are going to be panellists, will receive compensation based on their contract and the product line that they represent. I don't know what that means. Not be currently employed in a travel or theme park industry or be related to anyone who does. And that's pretty much everything that's going on with regards to that. So you've been doing this, what, a year now? Just short of a year?
Yeah, 9 months.
And it talks there about the fact that there has to be 25 written responses per week. Do you do more than that?
I do 25 a week as well.
Right, you do 25 a week. So roughly how long does it take you to complete those 25 responses on average?
I would say probably between 6 and 8 hours a week.
Right, so we're looking at between 6 and 8 hours of time a week, which you'll be able to actually dedicate to the Moms panel. I know there's a lot of people who do more than that and do less than that. One interesting thing on here was it said be familiar with Walt Disney World or Disneyland Resort. Can you also be an expert in things like the cruise line and Adventures by Disney as well, or does it have to specifically be Disney World or Walt Disney Disneyland or Walt Disney World?
Do you know? Well, for the first time this year, the panel appears to be diversifying.
Right.
Because for the first time ever this year, they're searching specifically for Disneyland California panelists.
Right.
Run Disney panelists. Yep. And obviously there's Disney Cruise Line, mm-hmm. Disney Vacation Club, Adventures by Disney, which are all represented at the moment.
Right.
And they're looking for more panelists for those as well.
But interestingly, still nothing like Disneyland Paris or anything like that. Bearing in mind they're looking for a UK member. They've not got sort of extended their wings out to other parks outside of the US.
No, I did wonder myself whether that might pop up the ship.
Which is strange. So we found out a little bit about the time that it takes, but what we're looking for now is, you know, I know we've spoken a lot about this before, about the process that it now goes through. Can you just, once again, just quickly go through the different rounds that now happen to become a member of the Moms panel?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you about the process I went through, but obviously none of us know as of yet what this year is going to entail. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine it would be something along similar lines, but who knows? For round one last year, there were three questions that had to be answered in 100 words or less, which were fairly simple questions, like explaining how you've helped a non-family member plan a trip to Disney, what resources you used to find out about Disney. So obviously that was round one. Round two was along similar lines again, with another set of questions to be answered. But interestingly, last year was the first time that a video had to be sent as part of round two.
Okay.
Which had to be 60 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. And we had to share details of our favourite Walt Disney World memory.
Right, okay.
So that was a bit daunting. I think at that point as well last year, we also had to upload a document as an example of an itinerary or a planning tool that we use when planning trips to Disney.
Right, okay.
So that was fairly involved, really, for round two. And then round three was the telephone interview.
Mm-hmm.
That was nerve-wracking, to say the least. There were a number of people on the call, and I couldn't honestly tell you what questions they asked me because I was so nervous. The thing just was like a whirlwind, and it just flew by. So it was really, really nerve-wracking.
And round three is the final round, isn't it?
Round three was the final round.
And then that's when you find out whether or not you've gotten or not. How do they inform you of whether you've got round one, etc.? Is that email or is that a phone call?
Email for round one and round two.
Email round one, round two, and then you find out round three, they give you a ring for your interview, and then you'll get another phone call if you could get through. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was about a week later we got the phone call to say whether it was a yes or a no.
Okay, right, that's fine. So we're expecting that to be similar. Certainly looking through the elements that are on here, it does say submit an autobiography and personal photo or video to be posted online. So it looks like they might be going down a similar vein with regards to what happened last year with this year as well. But as you've already said, we don't know exactly what is going to be happening with regards to this. So also, there's an inclusion there. It says you have to be able to travel out to Walt Disney World between December 9th and 13th. So that's a five-day trip. And that's basically for your training, that's right?
That's right, yeah, okay. That's right.
Now, one question I didn't ask you, which I didn't know whether you know the answer to or not. It says here, to be familiar with Walt Disney World, Disneyland Resort, and have visited one of the parks at least the last 12 months. Let's say you're somebody who's listening to this, wants to apply. They went out August last year, and they've not been out this year, but they want to still apply. Do you think Disney are going to look at that because they're a year and a month out, or would you think they'll still look at that as in it's near to a year? It's not somebody who's not been for 18 months or 2 years.
I don't honestly know the answer to the question, but
right.
I think as far as the search for the British panelist goes, it's got to be something that's thought about, isn't it? Because obviously we can't visit as frequently as those people in America, so I don't honestly know.
I'd be interested to know as well whether they're going to class like the cruise line or Disneyland Paris, those elements, as having visited a park within the last 12 months as well. Obviously Walt Disney World is the main key to a lot of this, so it's going to be that as well. But I'd be intrigued to see, you know, if that. So for me, for example, I went to Walt Disney World last summer and I've been on a cruise line this summer, which means I've been to Disney in the past year. But whether or not they would class that as, I don't know how it would work. So it's just I didn't know whether you knew anything about that, because obviously there's going to be people listening to this who may have those sort of questions.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Adam. And like I say, I don't honestly know the answer, but it's obviously something that is going to crop up in particular for British guests.
And as this is obviously this year a very British search for one particular member. And also, I think it's important to point out again, you don't have to be female, you can be male, and you don't have to have children. As long as you're over 18 and you've visited the parks, then you are eligible to join the Mums Panel. It's just the title they've given it, really.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so process then. We've talked about these three questions. What you've obviously been through the process, you were successful. Can you give some people just some tips about how they need to go about replying? Is it a case of it's the first thing that comes into their head? Do they need to sit down? Do they need to redraft? You know, do they need to spend a couple of hours, go away, come back? You know, how did you do it? How would you suggest that they went about it?
Well, I did actually apply to be on the panel the previous year.
Right.
And got through to round two at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came round to applying last year for the 2011 panel,
yeah,
I tried myself not to overthink the answer.
Okay.
I tried to write it from the heart, really, rather mm-hmm. than thinking about what answer they're looking for. But the main thing is, with the responses, is to totally double-check spelling, grammar, because mm-hmm. those are things, obviously, that are very important when you're answering questions online, and those yeah. are things that will be looked at very carefully.
So they're looking for sort of writing style, punctuation, all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
That's obviously what your answer is, because, yeah, obviously you can be putting stuff up on the website. They just need to be legible to whoever it is who's writing.
That's right. Yeah, that's all important. But as for tips, like I say, all I can say is to do it from your heart and to take your time about it, but mm-hmm. not to dwell on it for too long, because I think then you start worrying yourself about whether it's the right way to answer the question and... Mm. You know, none of us know. I'd love to know why I got picked, and to this day I still don't know.
They haven't told you.
No. But that's all I can say, really, is just, you know, speak from your heart and let your love of Disney shine through on your application.
And then second round, if people were to get through to that far, obviously there's a set of questions again. There are more things to do with possibly videos or at least some sort of autobiography entry. Again, yeah. are they looking, or when you did yours, was it something quirky? Was it something quite serious and informational? Or?
Well, when I did my video... my favourite memory was about the first time I took my son to Epcot and the right. first time the characters came out mm-hmm. at Rope Drop. And obviously, my partner Phil's very good with videos and things. Yeah. And he actually cut a video of the moment I was talking about and put it in the video. So I was sort of speaking over it. So whether that had anything to do with it or not, I don't know.
So I suppose it's making it real then, in the sense, not something that you're quoting verbatim. It's actually trying to make it something that they could see as well as hear, I suppose.
Yeah, right. I think I was trying to get them to see what I was talking about. Yeah. But I think every panellist that was chosen last year all took a totally different approach with the videos.
Okay.
So who knows?
And what sort of approaches did those different people take? Obviously, because they were successful, it'd be interesting to know if any of the stars that you know of.
Well, some people, it was very simple, just mm-hmm. speaking into the camera.
Yeah.
Other people, one panellist, Manina from Cleveland, she'd done a whole video in her hometown and said, you know, this is my Main Street, USA, and it totally original, not like anybody else's.
Right, okay.
But there were just so many different things, and I think the main thing is trying to stand out from the crowd, isn't it? Trying to do yeah. something that just makes yours... memorable, really.
So your tips are stand out from the crowd then, make sure that your answers aren't too thought through. You know, this isn't an exam, it's not what are they looking for. They're actually just looking to see if you're a genuine person who could genuinely be useful to them as part of the Mums Panel, and that punctuation, spelling, all those sort of things are very, very important.
I think there's so many people out there that know so much about Disney.
Yes.
It's got to be your enthusiasm and your love of Disney. That's what needs to come across, not factual information, really, because, like I say, there's millions of people out there that know a lot about Disney.
Yeah.
It's what makes you stand out from the crowd. You know, what do you have to offer that isn't represented already?
I think I'm right in thinking you've got access to Disney Insiders. If there's questions and things you don't know the answer to, that you can contact.
We don't, honestly.
Oh, you don't? Oh, right. I didn't know whether you had links to anybody who could answer some of the questions for you if you got stuck.
No, I mean, obviously we've got each other, you know.
Yes.
But we don't have a number I can ring to say what's the answer to this question.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I thought that was...
I have to research it myself. You know, if somebody asks me a question in particular that I don't personally know the answer to, it means me making calls to Florida to find out what the answer is, the same as any other guest would.
Okay, so that's how it works. I didn't know if it worked in a slightly different way. So it really is, they are looking for those people who have that expertise in Walt Disney World, because, you know, you literally are giving out your information. And I think, again, we have to make it very, very clear that although this is a Walt Disney Company initiative, Disney do not actually vet what goes up on the website. It's about opinion as well as information.
That's right. I mean, a lot of the questions is, what's my opinion? You know, what character meals would you suggest? What do you enjoy to do? You know, a lot of it is based on my opinion. And a lot of the questions as well, I think, or something that is a good attribute to have, is to know your way around the Disney website.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of questions out there, you know, where do I find the park calendars, or what day is Fantasmic showing, or, you know, lots of questions like that that you can find on the website, and it's really trying to show the guest how they can find that information themselves.
Right, okay, so obviously you're knowing the Disney websites very well. Do you find things like being members of forums or having Disney applications on iPhones, things like that, a useful tool, or is it just the Disney website you use most of the time?
I always try to refer to the Disney website, because obviously that's the official...
Yes, of course. Okay, that's great. So, well, I suppose we need to wish everybody luck. You've got until the 16th in which to get your applications in. I'm so tempted to apply this year. I didn't apply last year. I know Juz and Craig both applied last year. But I'm just this year I might just give it a go.
I think you should.
You think I should?
Definitely.
I will look at the questions that appear that have appeared online.
Do you know, I cannot wait to see what the questions are. Honestly, I think I'm as excited this year as I was last year.
And I think we have to also make it clear, the reason we don't know what the questions or anything are is actually this is recorded pre-Monday. We will find out just at the same time as you guys do what's going on. Is there a particular website, anything like that, people need to go to find out what is going on with regards to this?
Well, you'll need to log on to the Disney Moms Panel website, which is www.disneyworldmoms.com.
And I think it's /search2012 is a specific page for this year.
Yeah, there's a tab just on the left-hand side of the page.
Excellent.
And I think come tomorrow morning, you'll be able to click on that and it will take you to the questions.
And I've been certainly following Mum's coordinator, Laura, the Disney Mum Panel coordinator, on Twitter over the past few months, and she's certainly getting more and more excited about this on her Twitter feed.
We're also all very excited.
This year, Disney are also putting a link on waltdisneyworld.co.uk. There's actually a link on the front page of that already. So, you know, they really are trying to get out there. And, you know, the great thing about this is Disney are really trying to push this in the UK. And this is not something that they're doing lightly. It's press releases were released to a lot of people over the past week. I think you were mentioned in the Daily Mail, was it?
Daily Star today.
So, you know, this is obviously going to be quite a big thing, and we're hoping that this is going to be something that will expand in the UK.
I mean, I really hope so. You know, like you say, there's so many people from the UK visiting Disney.
Yes.
You know, it's something that needs to be looked at, really.
Very, very important, they do. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Once again, I want to wish everybody luck with this, and who knows, we may have a listener right now who could be the next UK Disney Moms panellist along with Emma, and we can start our own little group.
I can't wait to meet them, whoever it is, and obviously good luck to everybody applying, and I can't wait to follow with the search and see what happens.
Thank you very much, Emma.
You're welcome. It's a never-ending story that together we all write. It's been a part of me. It's been a part of you.
They are the elite. Drivers confronting the most punishing conditions. They are the new breed of test driver. Mercilessly putting cars through their paces. Who are these masters of the road? Test Track at Epcot. See if you've got what it takes. We'll be right back.
know that if you look up the word Disney in the dictionary, it has a very simple definition of magical. But like with everything else in life, there is always a dark side. Now, I suppose if you've also read books like The Kingdom Keepers, you've had a taste of what you imagine the behind doors life at the Disney park is like. You might start to think, what is it like in real life behind those doors and the facade? Well, tonight we just might find out, because we're joined by Leonard Kingsley, author of a new book called The Dark Side of Disney, which right from the cover you know is not for bedtime reading for your kids, but it does tell a very interesting tale of a lifelong Disney obsession with, I suppose, the dark side. Leonard, hello and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. That was a good intro. I like that.
You're very welcome. Now, I've kind of hinted at what the book is about, but do you just want to tell the listeners and tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you the backstory of it is I've been going to Disney my whole life, and I collect all the tour guide books. You know, pretty much any Disney book that comes out, I'll buy it. And I noticed that more and more of these books really didn't reflect the experiences that my friends and I were having at the parks. You know, they were really kind of whitewashed, and I guess the pixie dust version is the way you'd say it. And so I thought there was kind of a gap in the market there that needed to be filled, and that's why I decided to write this book. And it's just about all the, I guess, kind of the scams and, you know, tips and tricks that they won't tell you in the other books. And it's basically everything that's not told in the other guidebooks.
I think you just brought up a very good point, actually, that a lot of these guidebooks talk about the niceties, and almost when you go to Disney, if you see something that's untoward, you sort of think to yourself, no, that didn't happen, because it's Disney and things like that don't happen. And that's, I think, one of the areas that people almost disbelieve, that anything bad can happen at Disney, whereas I think you're dead right, aren't you, in the fact that, you know, there are elements of Disney that aren't as nice as everybody tries to make out they are. Now, you very kindly sent through some review copies of the book for us. Craig's read the whole thing, and I've part-read it. I'm not quite finished it yet. But I don't want to get into too many things about the words that are in there, but I'm quite interested about the cover. Now, the front cover, that's definitely not Disney dress code, is it?
No, that does not meet the Disney look.
Not by a long shot, I don't think. And we're not talking about someone here who's wearing a beard. If you are planning on looking at the front cover right this second as you're listening to this and you have a young person present, you may want to just avert their eyes briefly before you take a look at the front cover. What made you go for such an overtly outrageous, I suppose, in a way, cover for the book?
Well, you know, from what was a purely monetary standpoint, you know, they always say that the cover sells the book,
yeah,
and they say that sex sells. So I figured, you know, I'd put something sexy on the cover.
Okay.
Actually, I had from, like, the whole time I was writing the book, this was the image I had in my head for the cover, and I just wanted someone kind of alternative, punk looking, wearing those mouse ears. And I was lucky enough to meet up with the model on the cover, Draven Starr, who's an adult entertainer, and she did a great job and turned out just the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
Fantastic. Leonard, now, you know, we all know that you're a Disney fan. I mean, although the book is written at a slightly different angle, you are a Disney fan. You were born and bred in Clearwater, I believe, weren't you?
Yep, that's right.
You know, do you want to kind of share with us your kind of Disney history, how it kind of developed over the years with your mum taking you there, and kind of where it is now?
Yeah, so, I was born and raised from until age 18, lived in Florida. And back then, well, I guess they still do now, but they had some really good deals for Florida, people who lived in Florida, where you could basically go, they called it the three-season salute pass, and that changed to the four-season salute pass. And you could go as much as you wanted during the kind of the downtime, the slow months. And it ended up being a lot, probably a good half the year. So we did. We went all the time. You know, if we bought the ticket, we figured we'd get our money's worth. And so I went with my mother and sister. Just growing up in Disney World, and it was great. And I really, you know, I feel like I know the parks like the back of my hand. You know, I could walk them blindfolded just by smelling, you know, all the smells they pump out. Moved away from Florida when I was 18, and really came back for the summers and went with my friends, and that's when we kind of started getting into all this dark side stuff. Because we were, you know, teenagers and rebellious and kind of bored just going on the rides. So we started going down to the Utilidors and, you know, generally seeing what kind of trouble we could cause. And now as an adult, I've been bringing my wife there, and she's now a big Disney fan, and so we kind of, you know, don't do all the things that I used to do as a teenager, but we still go down the Utilidors and other such madness.
You talk about this idea of doing things that you wouldn't normally do in a park, i.e. going down to the Utilidors, those sort of ideas, and there's some great stories in the book. Are there like many more stories that you haven't told yet? Could you write a sequel?
There are, you know, it's funny because it's kind of like a continuing adventure.
Yeah.
I actually was just down there in June, and a friend and I basically bought some of these Tyvek wristbands on eBay, the colored ones, mm-hmm. a set of 20 different colors, and went over to Stormalong Bay over at the beach club, the really nice pool with the big slide and the sandy bottom, and we just watched people walk out and saw what color wristbands they were wearing, and then, you know, picked out that color from the little packet, slapped them on, and went in and had a free day at this really nice water. Things like that. You know, I take pictures and there'll be a post about it on blog. But yeah, I mean, every time I go down there, I try to do... That's the point. Every time I go there, I want to do something new. I want to do something exciting. I want to do something fun. And if the rides aren't changing, you know, the Fantasyland expansion's not done, well, then I'm going to have to come up with my own new things to do, you know?
How do your sort of pals, how do your friends think about you sharing these stories and obviously them being included in them?
Well, you know... The good thing is that everyone's name has been changed to protect the innocent.
Okay.
Not so innocent, maybe. But, you know, they, to be honest, they think it's pretty hilarious. And I was kind of the ringleader, and I won't say I ever forced them to do any of those things, but they definitely wouldn't have done them on their own. But I think they look and kind of glorified in a book. I think it's a thrill for them.
Okay, I need to know the answer to this question. You talk about in the book about a friend who was banned for life from Disney. Did he ever get married?
He actually was just able to go back there.
Okay.
Yeah, he just went down to... he stayed, and I think this is the reason why he was able to get in. He went to the Animal Kingdom and stayed on the concierge level, mm-hmm. and I don't think they ask you many questions if you're paying that much money.
That's probably true.
He's done well for himself. So high school and can afford to do that, so I think they must have given him a pass since he was giving them all that money.
He bought his way back. I like that. Bought his freedom. Now, the way the book's structured, Leonard, you've got four chapters, all different. Do you want to kind of just talk us through them and how you decided on kind of those four, because they're all slightly different, aren't they?
Yeah, sure. Well, the first one's all about kind of doing it on the cheap, which, you know, a lot of the guidebooks give you tips about how to, you know, basically make the most of your vacation for the smallest amount of money. But I don't think they go far enough. And they also never talk about some of the scams that are pulled on tourists there, who are tourists who are looking to save a buck, but really they're just getting screwed over, like the timeshare scams, the ticket resellers. Things like that. So I wanted to delve into all that. So that was that's the first chapter. The second one, it's kind of like where to find a really good, like, real rock show in the parks. And that kind of, I think I think the cover of the book kind of goes along with that chapter most of all. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, carry on. No, feel free.
Oh, so the next chapter is, the next chapter is where I put everything that I didn't know where else to put. It's kind of just like a hodgepodge of, you know, different scams and tricks that people do, like in trading scams, the refillable mug scams, and then about all the wildlife and bugs that are there at Disney, such as the brain-eating amoeba that you often hear about. And then the final chapter is the off-limits exploration, which is all about us going down the Utilidors. And I interviewed Hoot and Chief from Mesa Verde Times and also Shane Perez, who swam across Bay Lake to Discovery Island in the middle of the night.
Wow, so it really is an eclectic mix of a lot of different things that you wouldn't find in any other books. Now, there's many things in the book that, as we're a family show, I can't mention. But if you want to find out about them, you can buy the book and read them. And there's genuinely some really sort of shocking things in there that are not shocking in the sense that they're, like, disgusting, but shocking in the sense of, wow, could that really happen in Disney World? But, you know, what has the feedback sort of been on the book so far, especially on some of the tips and tricks that you've got in there?
You know, that's an interesting question. When I wrote the book and as I was releasing it, I was really, really worried that I was going to get a lot of, you know, really nasty feedback from fanboys and cast members, mm-hmm. and, you know, but it's been the opposite. I've got a lot of really heartfelt emails of people saying they love the book. They were a cast member. Kind of brought back what it was really like, mm-hmm. you know, to be in the parks. I just today got my first 1-star review on Amazon. Someone's really obviously angry about it, but you know, I've been really, you know, other than that, I had 6 5-star reviews. Okay. People, it's I'm surprised, but it's I'm really grateful for the feedback. It's been great.
I mean, I have to admit, there are some great tips in there, Leonard, and I'm going to admit now, on Ive, that we have used the Fast Pass Magic Button trick on our last trip, and it was on the Jungle Cruise, and it worked absolutely fine. I did bottle it a little bit. I did go and send my new-year-old daughter over there to go and press the buttons, because she's got an idyllic face that wouldn't get told off, and she came back with all these Fast Passes and was jumping up and down, and I thought she might get evicted because she was trying it on every machine. Have you noticed, though, that any of your kind of tricks have now stopped? Have they kind of found, closed the loophole, or are they all kind of still in operation?
No. There's one in particular, the refillable mugs that they're apparently, and the idea behind refillable mugs that people do is they buy a mug that you're supposed to be able to refill with soda as mm-hmm. much as you on your trip. Well, these people will bring them back year after year and always refill them, or they'll sell them on eBay to someone else, so just, you know, take that mug and continue getting refills. But they're cracking down on that now by putting tags on the bottom of these mugs. It's only happening at All-Star Resorts right now, but these tags are like RFID chips, and basically they get scanned when you go to the soda dispenser, and it knows how long your vacation is, and once your vacation's done, it shuts off. No more refills. So that's one thing they're cracking down on so far. Other than that, I haven't really, I was just, like I said, I was just down there in June and everything seemed pretty much the same.
Wow.
Excellent. Yeah, I know they've certainly been working on the refillable mugs. And as you've been speaking, I've just had a look at your 1-star review on Amazon. And they've entitled it Hyperbolic Fluff, which is a different way of entitling a review for a book. Now, you talked about you were worried how people were going to react to this and the way that people would receive these sort of this book and whether it would have any sort of backlash. Have you heard anything at all from Disney themselves?
Not yet. And I've been waiting for that. I figured, actually, Kevin Yee from MiceAge.com, mm-hmm. one of the, you know, I think one of the bigger Disney fan sites, he just published a review of it early in the week, and just figured if Disney didn't know about it by now, then now that Kevin's published his review, now they know about it. But I haven't heard anything. And I mean, I've heard from cast members.
Yeah.
And obviously interviewed a bunch of cast members for the book, but and cast members are loving it, but no official word from Disney. And that goes along with what Hooten Chief and Shane Perez also told me, that mm-hmm. no one from Disney ever officially contacted them about, you know, their misadventures.
You have sort of plastered unauthorized, unofficial over the front of it, and I suppose in that way that's what covers you against all those sort of elements, I suppose.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's the first page of the book is like a whole, most people have,
of course,
a standard disclaimer of, you know, no one living or dead. I've got a whole page of disclaimers. It's just this, you know, thing. So, I mean, I don't know how much that's going to, you know, protect me, but it's still there in case anyone wants to read it.
Now, I mean, you know, we joked a little bit about the sort of tricks and things in the book, but, you know, for Disney purists and nerds and geeks and Adams and all those sorts of people, you do talk something really interesting, which I'm sure that's kind of where they jump straight to, which is all about your experiences and down at the Utilidors. You seemingly have open access to them. I believe completely what happens, but, you know, is it really that easy to find that door and walk in?
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's funny, I had to take pictures for the book down there, and so, you know, it was basically down the rabbit hole again when last time I went, and I'm always expecting it not to be like that, but I've been doing this for, 14 years now since I've gone down there the first time, and it's always the same, just nobody cares, and, you know, I think a big reason is, there's a lot of non-costume cast members walking around down there, I think before or after their shift. They don't have name tags on. So it's really hard to tell. As long as you're fairly well-groomed and not, you know, holding a video camera, you know, a big, huge camera on your shoulder, you're really not going to stand out. So the only dangerous part, the only part that, you know, where I think it's easy to get caught is when you're actually walking into those doors. Because obviously, they're non-costumed cast members are not supposed to be walking through those doors. Mm. So if they see someone who doesn't have a costume on going through the door, they're going to immediately be suspicious.
I see, so yeah.
That's really kind of the, you know, the only point where I always kind of feel a little bit tensed.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been into the Utilidors in an official Disney tour sense, and it does seem very open. In fact, I think where we entered, I could quite easily just nip through there and go straight in, and wouldn't really have too many problems getting there. So I can see what you're coming from that point of view, certainly. You said, already talked about some of the many interesting people that you've already met from writing the books and the people you've interviewed, but there's one section especially about going behind closed doors at Horizons. How did you sort of meet them, and what else do you, you know, how did that come about?
You know, I just being a huge fan of Epcot since a kid, you know, Epcot kind of, I would say, partially made me who I am today. I'm just always doing girders and stuff, and, you know, on a lot of fan boards, and I came across this this weird video that was like just a 5-minute static shot of Horizon, but it was from on set, like shooting the moving vehicles, and I thought, wow, this must, I don't know what this is really weird. And from then on, like, these guys, Hoot and Chief, they turns out that they had jumped off the vehicle and, you know, gone around and basically explored every nook and cranny of Horizons and started a blog about it, and I mean, personally, I just loved it. I had to meet these guys. Well, they, you know, they live in Orlando, and it's kind of funny, you know. So a few of the cast members that I interviewed already knew these guys. They were friends with them, and so it kind of worked that way. And actually, it was even before this book. Hoot had contacted me about possibly helping with the documentary that they were thinking of doing about their exploits, like a film. And that kind of fell through, but, you know, we had this 2-hour phone conversation and, you know, just got to be really good friends. So it's really cool. I mean, they're great guys, but it's great to have them in the book.
And with Horizons having now, you know, officially gone, do they have plans to do the same with any other attractions, do you know? Or is that giving it away?
No. I mean, they've explored Mexico, the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot with the boat ride and stuff. Uh-huh. And they started blogging about that and then just kind of stopped. But the good thing about them is they actually worked in the parks and kind of, I guess, abused their privileges. They were custodians, but they went around to all the different rides on their off hours and really explored the whole park. So they've got huge wealth of knowledge about every area of all the parks. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You said earlier, Leonard, you still go to the parks. You were there earlier in the summer. You know, I don't think we could kind of do a Disney interview, we've asked out asking you the standard kind of questions about what your favourite ride is, your favourite park, favourite food, that sort of stuff. Come do the normal Disney stuff for us.
Okay. Favourite park is Epcot. Say my favourite ride is Space Park. You know, it's fortunately the only one there that is still kind of from the original Epcot Center. I guess Universal of Energy is pretty close, but all the rest of them kind of depress me in various ways. So Epcot, Spaceship Earth. Favorite food? I'm going to have to go with the old favorite, the Dole Whip.
Right.
Everyone loves the Dole Whip. And this is funny. I didn't put this in the book because it's kind of silly, but I found the company that makes the Dole Whip mix, and I ordered a bag of it from them and made it here at home. So you can actually make Dole Whip at home from the same mix that they use at the Magic Kingdom.
And the name of the company is?
I'll get back to you on that. I totally forget. It's actually in the cupboard right now. So
I'll just write that down for my own reference.
Go get that and send you an email.
That'd be great, yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us. You'll be able to hear a little bit more from Leonard. The next edition of Mouse Mag, which is out at the beginning of October, he's kindly given us an excerpt from his book, which you'll be able to read in there as well. He's also very kindly given us a couple of copies of his books to give away. So I think we might as well. I think it makes sense to get the author to set a question for our listeners. So, Leonard, have you got a suitable question you think you could get our listeners to answer for a possibility of winning one of the copies of your book?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Okay, yeah. This is a good one.
Okay.
Going along with my my Spaceship Earth fetch, who was the first narrator of Spaceship Earth spiel?
Right. So who was the first narrator of Spaceship Earth? That actually works perfectly, because only recently were we talking about this on an episode, and I got the name totally wrong, and somebody actually reminded me of who it actually was. So that's a perfect question. That couldn't have been better. Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much. You know, for those that don't win the book, can you just tell us all where people can buy a copy of the book from and leave nice reviews when they've read it?
Yeah, sure. Well, you can definitely buy it from Amazon.com in both Kindle and paperback formats. And you can also buy it straight from my website, www.darksideofdisney.com. And if you, same price as Amazon. And if you do it there, I'll sign it for you and also include a little gift along with it.
Wow, I'm going to keep that secret. But truly, you know, if you're into your Disney guidebooks, as many of us are, and you are honestly looking for something a little bit different, there is truly nothing else in the market like this book. Even if you don't plan on actually using it in the park, it's a fantastic read, just something so totally different and so totally out there that it's just almost a refreshing way of looking at Walt Disney World if you've been one or even 1,000 times. So we do thank you, Leonard, for joining us, and do go and check out his book, The Dark Side of Disney. Well, that rounds up this week's show. There's just one little bit to come right at the very end, which is all of that audio from the Vinyl Mation presentation that was at the Florida Project this weekend. So do hang around till the end of our close music for that. But thanks once again to Juz and Craig for joining me. Thank you, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Always a chore.
Always a chore. Always a pleasure. By the way, how's your wind your way?
Well, that's a bit personal.
Yeah, exactly. I never asked.
I'm down south, so it's sunny and lovely.
It's incredibly bad up here.
We've got it sort of, I suppose, medium. It's not too
You
bad.
Don't have it medium. We're on the coast. That's
yes,
where it comes
I know, exactly.
up. You're like in the middle.
The Midlands.
That's right. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. I'm not going to get into this argument now because it'll just be there forever.
And besides which, it's Wednesday now, so it's actually what was the wind like on Monday?
That's what I said, yes. Oh, man, I'm so rubbish at continuity stuff. Thanks to Emma Nicholson from the Disney Moms panel for joining us, and also
thanks,
for Leonard
Emma.
Kinsley.
Show. I didn't hear.
She was, yeah. And thanks to Leonard Kinsley as well for Dark Side of Disney.
He was on the show as well,
you missed him. But you can get his book, Dark Side of Disney, from Amazon and from the Kindle stores, all those sort of elements you can get hold of. I think in UK at the minute, the Kindle version is about £2.10. So go and grab that. Also, don't forget the question he set, which was, who was the first narrator of Spaceship Earth? That's the question ready for the book. Send your emails with the answers to podcast@disneybrit.com.
And, I assume it was God.
It was, yes, he was the
Because original. He would have said to Adam and Eve, don't eat the apple.
That's right, yes, of Spaceship Earth. That's the one.
Get in there.
Podcast@disneybrit.com. We'll keep that open until the 27th. No, 20... Okay, it's right. 25th of September. Oh, man. 25th of September. Sunday the 25th of September, and then we can announce the winners on the next show.
You announce on the 28th, which is the Wednesday.
That's because we're going to need to close it before we record, ready for the 28th.
But you always say it is the Wednesday.
Yeah, but that's because it is the Wednesday.
But if you're asking it for on the Monday, why wouldn't you ask for the 27th?
This isn't recorded. We are live inside people's iPods
right
now.
So they could do it on the 27th then?
No, it needs to be in by the 25th. Sunday
but
the 25th.
We record on a Wednesday.
I don't care. So I've got plenty of days for administration purposes.
I think people need a notepad and pen for this show.
Yeah, so Sunday the 25th of September. Midnight.
At 5 o'clock.
The Enigma Code, brought to you by the Disney Podcast.
So you can do that, and podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail. Our US voicemail number is...
Oh, she still put that Wigan poster. All I can see is
407-545-7980. So 407-545-7980. Yeah, you've had 2 weeks. You've got no excuse.
I know.
You can also go over to disneybrit.com, find out all the latest news and rumours and everything that's going on with regards to the Florida project. We've got a load of photos and stuff up there that were blogged by Nick. And we've got all the latest news and bits and pieces to do with Mom's Panel, all those sort of things on there as well. Check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. You can check that out. We've just set up a group for all the hopefuls of the Disney Mom's Panel 2012. So you can go over and join that group, or you could set up the go to the Disney Moms Panel Hopeful 2011, which we didn't realize already existed. We thought we did something nice.
You set up this group, and then you set up for all the members of the other group.
True. You can find out myself, Juz, and Craig from Facebook. And also, there's Mouse Mag. The latest edition of Mouse Mag will be out at the beginning of October, so you've got a couple of weeks to wait. Until then, that should be somewhere around the 1st of October. You can leave us a review on iTunes. You can check out our YouTube channel. You can also listen to Iron Orlando and loads of other stuff that we've got going on. Also, download...
Jesus, this is a long gap.
You can download them all on iTunes. You like, you want to show up. And that's pretty much everything, I think. Don't forget discot.net, and that's pretty much everything.
Just running faster and quicker at the moment.
That's pretty much everything for this edition.
It never goes on.
That's everything from this edition of the podcast for Wednesday, the 19th of July. Oh, whatever it is now. I have no idea anymore. I've completely lost the point. It's Thursday, the 7th of April. The next show will be available. Are you ready for this? On Wednesday, the 28th of September. So until.
What are we recording?
I don't know. So until then, we'll see you.
So speaking of our international partners, Vitalmation is now available at all Disney theme parks around the globe. And actually this past May, I had the opportunity to go and visit all of our partners and work with them on their Vitalmation strategies. So you'll start to see a lot of exclusive development at all of these sites. And we're also working on ways to make those exclusive development items available to the United States.
I said all the parks around the world.
You said that?
Woo! What?
None.
That's what
our friends at the Disney stores, we've been working with them for just over a year. I think we made the announcement last year at Trade City USA that you'd be able to purchase Vinylmation at Disney stores. So we're pleased to announce that you can purchase Vinylmation at Disney stores across North America, Europe, as well as Japan. They'll also be expanding into China as they open stores in Shanghai and Beijing next year. So that's very exciting. One thing you'll start to see with the Disney stores, as well as with the guys from Disney Design Group, that in urban series going forward, you'll see art from both Disney store artists as well as the Disney Design Group artists. So those are going to be some fun sharing opportunities there.
Yeah, but you need the better.
I think one of the most exciting things that happened this year is that we sent a Vinylmation to space. We should have seen this the day that this picture came in the office. We were like, oh, it was fun. This is one of my favorite photos that we have, because what it really reminds me of is that the possibilities are endless with Vinylmation. I've kind of said it before, I continue to say it. It's all about art and creativity, and it really gives the artist just unparalleled latitude to do what they want. So with that, I thought I would talk about what our new releases for 2012 are, or at least some of them. Who wants to get inside this Z folder? Alright, not yet. It'll be worth the wait. Hopefully everyone was able to get their Z buttons as well. So our first big release this fall will be Alice in Wonderland. We've been previewing the samples all weekend long, and really what I wanted to show you was a couple of the limited edition pieces that go along with this series, because Thomas Scott, who designed them, really captured a lot of the key elements within the movie. So we have the Walrus and the Carpenter, and then my favorite one is the disappearing and reappearing Cheshire Cat set. Yeah, this one's great. So packaged in two, so not all of our limited editions will be 9-inch. You'll start seeing some 3-inch limited editions within our series. We also have some previews from Park 7 in the case. We have the Fife and Drum, all the three together. Okay, Park 8. Someone's giving me a fist bump for Park 8. It's hard for me to believe that we're already up to Park 8 right now. I think when I joined the team, we just launched Park 2. And consider how far we've come in just probably 18 to 24 months. We'll be releasing Park 8 this fall. I'm really excited about it. Continuing with the theme that we had from Park 7, if you haven't already kind of figured it out, is that Park 8 is also themed to all the milestones in Walt Disney World's 40 years. So each of the figures represents a different milestone. This first one, I think, is probably one of the only times I went to Thomas and said, you have to do this figure. So this is Minnie Moo. And I remember Minnie Moo from my first trip to Walt Disney World in the 1980s when she was out at Mickey's Birthday Land. And then the next one is the logo from the 25th anniversary, if you were around during that time. This was actually one of the first t-shirts that I worked on in graphic apparel all those many years ago. So that's a little peek at Park 8. Urban 9, again, what I love about the Urban series is that we don't really put any parameters on what the artists do. It allows them to be just free-form thinking and design whatever they want. A couple of my favorites is this cute little sheep. How adorable is that? I think Maria did that one. And then maybe Cuisinart will make this a Vinylmation toast for the cell. We love food though. Cutesters. Cutesters was one of the first series that we did that was different from Park and Urban. I love it because it has just a different point of view, and I love how the series figures ties into what the packaging is all about. So our fourth series for Cutesters is Cutesters at the Beach. And this little cute little girl right there, she's a lifeguard. So she's adorable. And then really my favorite figure in the whole series is the beach ball. So the whole series is themed around the beach. Robots. Who got their robots from the Disney stores? Lucky people. So the second series of robots will be coming next year. It'll be going to both Walt Disney World, Disneyland, as well as the Disney stores. So look for that invasion. Classic collection. So Eric Azad is following up the Have a Laugh series with the Walt Disney Classic Collection. Of course, he put Donald on the cover. Not sure if it's just for me. All right, who loves nerds? Yeah. If you follow me on Twitter, I have a few followers, 64. So head vinyl guy, nerd vinylmation Donald is actually my profile picture. But who are we gonna follow that up? Stitch fans, where are you? All right, however, this guy in the third row is gonna like this one. So we're adding two more figures to the Nerd Series, both Stitch and Figment. And we're really excited about that, and we love this art style. We've been out of stock for a little bit, but they're an open edition, and plenty more are coming. Yeah, okay, so our friends in the Softlines division have been doing a fantastic job with graphic apparel. They're doing some really cool t-shirts. They've come a long way since I did t-shirts in the 1980s, and they've got a lot of great, fun graphic edge on it. So we saw a lot of these t-shirts, and we took some inspiration from that, and we've developed a series called Detour. And basically what Detour is, it's taking a lot of that Softlines art, it's reinterpreting it to the Vinylmation platform, and the whole series is different graphic interpretations of Mickey. So here's the first one, the Bright Mickey. He's pretty cool. And then King Mickey. Ready? This guy is fantastic. And we'll put the samples out a little bit later. You can actually see like all the line art on them. The artist did a fantastic job. So it's a series of six, and they'll continue to change out. So if King Mickey's the top seller, he'll always be around. If Bright Mickey doesn't sell, Bright Mickey will go away, and we'll bring in another fun interpretation of Mickey. But the idea is it's a series all about Mickey Mouse. Vinylmation Jr. So the talented Thomas Scott has been working on Vinylmation Jr. Vinylmation Jr. Series 4, Small World. Probably my favorite series to date, released at D23 as a preview, as well as we previewed it here before we start rolling it out to locations. And there's a lot of traders for Small World in the bin if you grab for them. So Series 5 is this and that. So if you take a look at the box panel, you can kind of see the arrows. So that's up and down. The one on my right, so your right, is rainbows and unicorns. So the whole thing is a play on words, which is a lot of fun. So then, I would imagine you're all waiting on pins and needles. To find out what Junior Series 6 is. There's a Z in Junior Series 6. It's not the Z you're waiting to hear about. But he's cute. So really what I want to say is that I'm happy to announce that Vinylmation Junior Series 6 is themed to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. When Thomas and I started laying out this series, we had been talking about the dwarfs, and we kind of laid it out, we're like, can we get to the number of characters we need? And I said the Small World was my favorite. This one's my new favorite, and we'll put out a couple of the samples later today. It's spectacular, and I love how the packaging is rendered. You're going to want to display that with your figures as well. Mr. Casey Jones brings us the Haunted Mansion. I love the packaging for Haunted Mansion. Just how we've rendered it, it just looks so spooky and crazy and glowy. So we previewed the Hatbox Ghost, and here are a couple more figures from that series. So we'll continue to start placing more and more figures on the blog as we go forward. But this will come out probably late spring, early summer. So for those of you, there's a wild rumor going out there that we're going to have a surprise release at the 999 event. or Root for One More event, excuse me. There's not going to be a surprise release of this series at one point after next year. Star Wars. There's a lot of Star Wars figures in the trading boxes, so hopefully you're able to get them if you haven't been able to purchase it. And we have a lot more Star Wars coming as we speak. It'll be out in stores for about another year. But next May, we're going to do our first open edition Star Wars series. So it won't be a blind box series, it'll be open edition. And it's the Disney characters as Star Wars characters. So we have Stormtrooper Donald Duck. Alright, and this one, Maria, where are you? Raving about. Love them. So there'll be six characters, Disney characters dressed as Star Wars characters in this series. And I think they're going to be fantastic. And we're buying them big. Star Wars, though, continues. So we've got Star Wars Series 1. There's a lot of Star Wars movies out there. So Star Wars Series 2 will launch next August. It's themed to New Hope, which was the original Star Wars movie. And here's a couple of the concepts from that series. So this one will come out in August. We love them. All right, Z. Now we want Z, right? Thank you for playing along with it. It's been a lot of fun for us. So hopefully it's been a lot of fun for you as well. So kind of here's what you know. Oh, all right, and someone's phone rang just when the phones came up. That wasn't planned. So in Urban 7 and in Occupations, we released two telephones. Actually three, the red one as well, the variant. And there was a secret phone number on there. When these concepts first came to my desk, they actually had my office number on there. And Thomas kind of just slid it right by me, and I don't think I noticed it for a day or two, and he's like, did you look closely at that? And I'm like, we need to change that. But what came from the idea of them putting my office number on there was like, we need a voicemail box. So well over a year ago, we established this this voicemail box, and we knew that eventually we wanted to do something with it. So what did we do? We started posting these coordinates. Fun. So different theme park attractions around the world were reflected in these coordinates. Someone even picked up, the World's Fair. We even threw one of those in. We threw something in Japan, something in Hong Kong, something in France in there as well. And everyone really started to uncover. And no, it's not Park 7. I think we kind of revealed that, though. We also had some photos. We started just giving some clues. If you look closely at the dog, he's got this P that's hanging upside down. So the P is actually part of what we want to talk about. So really, what is it? Vinylmation Park Stars, or actually Park Stars Vinylmation. So that's a title, but you don't really know what it is. So well over a year ago, Thomas, Eric Pizzotte, Casey Jones, and I were all sitting down and we were talking about what can we do that's new and different. You know, we love the Mickey platform. We love all of the series on Mickey. We love Park and Urban and Cutesters and everything else. But we really wanted to step outside the box. So there's one thing that we did know walking into it, that our partners at Walt Disney Imagineering are super talented people, and they also created a breadth of characters that are exclusive to Disney theme parks. So about that time is also when we were working with our partners at the Disney stores, so we wanted to work on something that we knew was really park-specific. So that's really how Park Stars was born. So it's a series of 12 figures, all based on iconic Disney characters that are featured in our attractions. So start thinking about who they are and what they are. We then gave you this clue. This is probably the biggest one that we gave, or actually the second biggest one. And if you look at it, it says, think outside the mold. So thinking outside the mold, to us, meant more than just the platform. It meant everything about the series. So the first clue is, yes, the molds are different. The second thing is, really, how we sell them is different as well. So we released this image events in the distant universe. And there's kind of something lurking in the background. And then how many people saw this one or were able to uncover it? Yeah, all right. So there's a Yeti. The Yeti is one of the figures, and if you look at him closely, he's a stylized Yeti. So if you think about it, all of the characters that are in the series are going to be stylized versions of the characters that they represent. So we love this Yeti. The other great thing, they're packaged in a tin. Everyone loves tins. So they're fun. And they're also packaged in a tray of 12. So what does that mean? If you want the Mystery Chaser, you have a 1 in 12 chance of blind picking the Mystery Chaser out of the tray. If you want the entire series of 12, you just need to buy one tray. You're not going to get duplicates. So as you can see, we love the Yeti and how he came out, and he is actually the star of that series. There's a couple more clues that we gave as well. In the shadows of this figure is actually our friend. Yeah. We love him, he's fantastic. So really, start thinking about all your favorite characters in these attractions. I'm really nice to Figment fans this event, aren't I? I think so. So Figment, lurking in the background, and I think Figment, the one of the first shadows that we showed was actually the new platform for Figment, and everyone kind of said it was a bowling ball, but it's not. It's Figment. So those are the first three. And really what I love this one, because again, I say the possibilities are endless, and the sky's the limit for what we're going to do. So all of those Park Stars series figures that I showed today, we're actually going to put on display so everyone will be able to get a closer look at it. And everyone will be able to place their Park Z or their Z button. We've got Park Stars buttons that we'll be handing out for everyone as well. Mickey's Circus. So for those of you who were here for the pin talk, and my friends Julie and Jeannie were up here, they made a big circus announcement with some fanfare. So Filmation will also be participating in the event. I imagine we'll continue to grow what the Filmation portion of the event is all about. So it will be themed to Mickey's Circus. So who noticed Ron up here drawing for us? Here he is. So Ron Cody is one of our character artist that has been working with us for the last few months, and he is sketching one of our limited edition figures that we're going to have for next year's event. So we can get the camera on Ron, we can give you a little sneak peek at what he's working on. Oh, there you go. Ron, if you put the head back a little bit. There's Ringleader Mickey. So he's a fun one. So Ron's been up here. Fun. So at this point in time, I'm going to have some of the artists join me up on stage. We have Thomas Scott, who is one of our lead designers from Filmation. He and I actually started out this
live party together. You know?
So yeah, Thomas has brought you some fantastic series.
Casey Jones is joining us.
Casey's a senior character artist in the Disney Design Group. Casey's first series for us was Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. He brought us Pirates and The Haunted Mansion, as well as some others. We have fan favorite Maria Glasses. Maria's actually been working on figures since Part 1, and she's done a Kuster series and a lot of other great stuff for us. And then Ron Cohee, the newest member of our team, who's been sketching Bandleader Mickey, or Circus Ringmaster Mickey. That's actually the first preview of something that Ron's been working on. Everything else he's working on is pretty top secret for right now. But we'll be announcing that. Great. So, the camera's around.
There you are.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we're going to be starting a Q&A session with our artists right now, but I actually have a first question for you. Do you guys as artists like the new Bombomation platform? Yeah, we're getting you guys some microphones to share as well. But listening to our guests out here, they kind of want to know if you guys like the new Bombomation platform that's going on.
We love the new Bombomation platform. It has allowed us to change the name of the platform that we all worked on so hard to allow the factories to execute our designs the way we want. We've had to compromise the design so many times over the last couple of years, and while you're seeing a final product, and I know you love what we're doing, we're seeing the things not executing the way we like.
So
it's a new platform now. We finally have the opportunity to see those designs realized the way we envision them.
Big Al looks great.
Yeah, I mean, that's something Thomas has worked really hard on, is just getting the artwork to reproduce so that we can get the designs clean and perfect as possible. And, I mean, honestly, you know, it took getting used to, but, I mean, we've got every vinyl nation up on Thomas's wall, and honestly, I don't remember which is which anymore. When we look back at all of them together, and really with, you know, seeing the new Alice set, it's weird to look at Alice because she's on the old mold, and all the other designs are just so perfect and so, you know, executed so well. Hopefully we'll get to do Alice again in the future.
The new mold really does help just how our art gets reproduced onto the three-dimensional form. And it just really helps. And we tried really hard to make the new mold something that would be, you know, our designs would be better executed on them. And I think we've succeeded, and I hope you guys will, you know, I hope that you guys notice that as well in how the art looks on the form.
So if you had a chance to look at the table back where Lisa is in the Vinylmation booth, what I actually have done is pulled out a Vinylmation in every step that it goes through in the manufacturing process, so you can kind of see how all the art's applied, and that'll kind of give you an easier idea on why we made some of the changes that we made as well.
Great, thanks for answering that question. Now I'm going to open it up to the floor here. Do we have any questions? Raise your hand, I'll come on by. You guys can ask our artists.
Karen Grant, St. Augustine Mall. Right. I want to know, why did you make this change on the mold?
Well, I think they really covered it just now. You know, the reason that we made it was for the ease of production and to deliver a better quality product. If you think about it, where all of the mask lines were on the old Mickey platform, the paint really wasn't adhering to it, so we had someone going in and touching them up. So you probably got some earlier figures that you look at and you go, oh, they're smudged, or what's that mark? That's because someone's going in with a fine paintbrush and trying to cover it up. So our goal is really to deliver the best quality product available. I know not everyone agrees with it, but that's what we're charged with, and that's one of the decisions that we made.
Great, we have Rob over here from Orlando. He's got a question for you.
Maria, I knew that you were going to be here doing a signing today, and going through our entire collection, there's just so many that we couldn't even narrow it down. What's your favorite individual piece that you've ever done?
That's really hard. One of my favorite dimensions is the Alien Tower set that came out. That one's really hard to do. And I got all excited because I am a total fan of retro attractions that aren't there anymore. And I love that attraction. So just like when I was like, oh, I'm going to do the Alien Encounter one. And I got the reference of what the actual alien looked like, and I was like, oh, what have I gotten myself into? Because it's really complicated. But I love how it turned out. And so that's one of my favorite sets. And then the other ones, it's really hard because I love each and every one that I do. And it's, you know, it's just really hard to pick one that I like.
Great, and now I have Jerry over here from Fort Lauderdale. Jerry, you got a question?
Yes, thank you. The new Z series that you're having come out, you have the Pop series, you have the Juniors. Is this just going to be another product line mold, So it's not going to replace anything. You'll still have the new mold and continue forward with new stuff, the Z series.
You got it. Project Z, or Park Stars right now, is actually, as we can call it now, is just an additional series. So nothing's going away. We just kind of are introducing it as another core series. If you think about it, there's a wealth of characters that are exclusive to the theme parks. And Thomas, Casey, Eric, Ron, and I have already really mapped out what the next two series are. In fact, we're already working on the prototypes for the second series. So if you come to my office, you'll see like all little blanks. And Thomas is working to make sure that they're all the right size. Is kind of where we are with the second series. So the conceit behind it is that it's a series of 12, that it is theme park exclusive characters, and then every mold will be different. And then they'll continue forward. We think probably one a year. We're not going to have like rapid releases of them, but about one a year. A lot of work goes into it. It takes us well over 12 months to actually tool and get them up and going.
One of the things that you'll see with this product line, that we hope that fans that weren't here at the beginning of Funimation when it started with the Mickey platform, this is a chance for them to start to collect forward and get along.
All right, guys, we have Blair over here from Milwaukee. She has a question for you right over here.
Hi, have any of you designed the Duffy Funimation? And will we see a preview?
Yes. So Monty Waldman, who designed the orange bird chaser that everyone has today, and who works on a lot of the Duffy plush product, worked with us in developing Duffy. He will come out next year sometime, I want to say early summer. So it's just going to be, there's just a couple Duffys is what it is. It's not a whole series based on Duffy. I think in one of the annual pass holder previews where they were talking about Duffy, they kind of came across that Duffy might be replacing the Mickey platform, or we'll be doing an entire series on the Duffy platform. They'll be Duffys. He'll look like Duffy, because he's a bear. So it should be fun.
Great.
I wanted to ask regarding Monty's contribution to Duffy, and also Lynn Shi did the sculpt on Duffy, and in that reminded me, we didn't credit Lynn, who did the sculpts on most of the first series of Park Stars.
And we have Lauren here from Fort Lauderdale. She's got a question.
I was just wondering, next time the new form, I noticed they're smaller than the original form. Are they supposed to be, like, they're not 3 inches at all? They're, like, below 3 inches. And it kind of looks funny when I have them all sewed together. Was that on purpose, or...?
They are closer to 3 inches, I think, than the original figure is.
They're smaller than the originals, obviously. I don't know if they're 3 inch or not, but they're smaller than the original.
Why are people still on them?
They are what they are at this point in time. Sorry.
And do we have any other questions out here? Oh, we have one more? I think we have time for one more. We'll make this our final question over here. We have Roger here from Yorba Linda, California. Go for it, Roger.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you're getting into more international parks, doing products now. Do they have their own artists, or is all the artwork coming from here, and you just work with them to develop the products that they come up with?
It's actually a great question. Thomas and I will tag team this one. First off, from a strategy standpoint, I've been working with all of our partners around the globe on their strategies. I actually had an opportunity earlier this year to go and visit all of the sites, and we kind of talked through what were the most important series for them to carry in their parks, as well as then how can they augment what we develop with exclusive development. And then that started us having their teams work with Thomas and everybody.
Yes, at my video conference, we've met with all the different art teams at all the different locations. And we essentially trained them how to prepare art for Funimation. So these are store guys and the artists at the different parks. And then I had the opportunity in December when I was in Asia visiting factories. I went to Hong Kong Disneyland, and they had just hired a new artist named Joey Chan, and she had never done a vinyl figure before, and so I taught her how to do it, and she created the Chinese Zodiac series, which was awesome.
So one thing to know is that we actually globally manage the brand from Florida, from Disney theme parks. So everything that our partners at the Disney stores, as well as the international sites do, actually come through Thomas and myself for approval. So we kind of talk to them up front strategically on what do you want to do. So Hong Kong Disneyland came to us and said, this is great, we love park, we love urban, we love coasters, but we need something that really ties to the experience in Hong Kong. And they wanted to do Chinese Zodiac, which we thought was great. So we approved that strategy, and then they start submitting our concepts to us, and we give them feedback along the way, and then it kind of comes in. So we globally manage it here, so we know everything that the Disney stores is working on, everything the international parks are working on, so that way no one releases, you know, Jimmy Cricket at the same time, and he looks the same.
Fantastic. If we give a nice round of applause for Chris Miller.